Tara is an associate professor in the Department of English, where she teaches postcolonial and diasporic literature, and is a founding member of the Center for Transnational Cultural Analysis. Her research includes Caribbean literature and hemispheric approaches to the literatures of the Americas, as well as theories of diaspora and transnationalism. Her current Shirk-funded book project adopts a comparative diaspora's approach in order to examine how Jewishness figures in the Caribbean literary
imagination.
Sweet.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much to Melini for organizing today's events and giving us an opportunity to reflect on the importance of Stuart Hall to our research and our teaching. One of the subtitles of the film is The Multiple Lives of a Multicultural Subject, and something that I was thinking about that strikes me about Hall, and I think Melini mentioned this earlier in the day, is how he had multiple academic and disciplinary lives as well. So that scholars in film and cultural studies know him, I think, quite differently perhaps than scholars in literary or diaspora studies such as myself, and yet he had such a profound impact on all of these fields. So I imagine that very different Stuart Halls may emerge in our comments and discussions. What I thought I would do today, perhaps reading a little bit against the grain, because I was talking to Daniel about this yesterday, Stuart Hall, strangely in a way, is not often talked about in the context of Caribbean studies, but that's, I guess, what I'm going to do. So I want to approach him from that perspective and to focus in particular on the first part of the film that deals with Hall's upbringing in pre-independence Jamaica. I'd like to situate this part of the film in terms of a larger trajectory in Caribbean intellectual and cultural history. And I'm fascinated by these early sections of the film because they illustrate not only the particularities of Hall's experiences in colonial Jamaica, but also how much he was really a part of a larger generation of a really remarkable group of Caribbean intellectuals born in the late 1920s, early 1930s, who were brought up and educated under colonial rule to believe in a certain kind of England, a certain idea of England and Englishness. So I want to draw attention to two aspects in particular of Hall's colonial Jamaican upbringing and his experience of emigration to England that I think form a part of the background to the deeply influential critique of identity and belonging that he would later articulate. And I'd also like to contextualize some of the key statements that he makes in the early part of the film relating to this experience and idea of Englishness by relating them to the writing and cultural production of other Caribbean intellectuals of his generation. So I hope this will provide some useful context. So as Hall says in the film, he was part of that generation that decided, without contacting one another, that we had to get out in order to do something, to become writers, to become intellectuals. Somehow we had to get out. The most famous commentator on that generational phenomenon, that idea of the need to get out, was, in fact, I think the phrase comes from him, was the Barbadian writer George Lamming, whose book, The Pleasures of Exile, Hall himself described as simply the most poignant, eloquent set of reflections on the experience of migration in the 1950s and 60s that was formative for Caribbean writers, artists, and intellectuals of the period. Lamming in The Pleasures of Exile offers a seminal analysis of what he identifies as the psychological origins of this migration of Caribbean intellectuals, of the way in which their colonial educations led them to believe that this emigration was necessary. Lamming further explains that this experience of colonial immigration entailed particular kinds of complications because of what he called the idea of England that the Caribbean student carried with him. This myth of England included the belief inculcated through their colonial educations that England was the source of all value. Accordingly, Hall explains in the film that his mother was brought up thinking that everything belonging to England was good and that nothing that belonged to the Caribbean was. The writer Jamaica Kincaid puts it this way: "Have I given you the impression that the Antigua I grew up in revolved almost completely around England? Well, that was so. I met the world through England, and if the world wanted to meet me, it would have to do so through England." Alongside emphasizing what Lamming describes as England's supremacy in taste and judgment, the colonial idea of England also entailed a sense of familiarity with the mother country. so that as Hall explains in the film, it was as though the Caribbean immigrant arriving in England for the first time were returning to his or her home. The Trinidadian Calypsonian Lord Kitchener's 1948 Calypso, London is the Place for Me, composed during his own ocean voyage across the Atlantic, captured the sense of the colonial subject's rightful claim to the mother country, as well as the dream of a glamorous life in England. And I was thinking of this morning, watching Ali's film and the discussion about that notion of sort of being part of a commonwealth and the idea of belonging that proves to be so false ultimately. I think there's a really interesting link there the film about Hall. So it's in this context that I think we can understand the profound and painful shock that Caribbean immigrants such as Hall experienced upon arriving in the mother country. As Hall says in the film, I came to England with enormous positive feelings, but then you discover something quite different. Hall had wanted to get to the experiences that London represented, but he arrived in Oxford in 1951, only to discover that someone like me could not really be part of it. This fantasy of England as a place of belonging clashed with the reality of a racially exclusionary and hostile British society that Trinidadian writer Sam Selvon so vividly portrayed in his wonderful 1956 novel, The Lonely Londoners. And those scenes in the film of people arriving at the train stations really, to me, evoke that novel, which very much portrays the same scene. So Selvon's novel also reminds us that the romance of England affected not only the experiences of Caribbean emigre intellectuals with scholarships to Oxford, as such as Hall, but also of working-class Caribbean immigrants. But for intellectuals like Hall, Lamming, Brathwaite, Naipaul, and others, the painful shock of arrival and the demystification of the idea of England that accompanied it produced extraordinary and profound insights as well as rich literary innovation. So it strikes me in hearing Hall describe his own first encounter with England and with Oxford is how generative that experience of displacement and the denial of colonial belonging was. I'm also interested in this regard and the way in which the soundtrack and the African-American reference point that the music of Miles Davis introduces perhaps suggests an alternative to this focus on England as the source of cultural and intellectual value. The other thematic element of the film that I'd like to highlight briefly, again connected to Hall's colonial Jamaican upbringing, points to a different but related experience of unbelonging. I'm very struck also watching the film by the family portraits that Akamfra incorporates throughout. The portraits of Hall's family provide a visual illustration of the fundamentally mixed character of Hall's family, and by extension of Jamaican and Caribbean societies more broadly. As Hall says in the film, in the Caribbean, we are all hybrids. Everyone comes from somewhere else. His own family, as he explains, is part Scottish, part African, part Portuguese Jew. This last element of his family history is of particular interest to me because I just finished writing a book about Jewishness in Caribbean literature. But more broadly, Hall's account of the Caribbean as the test case for identity, as the home of hybridity, has been particularly influential for scholars of diaspora and globalization. And I think it's partly because of his work and an account of the Caribbean in these terms that this understanding of the Caribbean as emblematic of broader global processes of cultural mixture has become so popularized, sometimes problematically so, and Hall himself has been critical of this, in the sense that sometimes it becomes romanticized in celebratory narratives of hybridity and creolization. Yet Hall grows up in a society in which this hybridity is precisely what is not celebrated. Instead, in pre-independence, Jamaica's skin color shade was fundamental, as he explains, in determining one's class, position, and possibilities, as is illustrated by the tragic story that he recounts about his sister who falls in love with the black doctor, right, and suffers this nervous breakdown afterwards when that relationship is prohibited. So fundamental to Hall's formation was the fact that he was the darkest skinned member of his family. As he says in the film, I was too black in my family. I was the outsider from the time I was born. He describes how he lived through the most exquisitely differentiated class and color system in the world. I was three shades darker than my family, and it's the first social fact I knew about myself. Hall's commentary on his mixed-race family recall for me the writing of another mixed-race Jamaican intellectual, the writer Michelle Cliff, who's a little bit younger than Hall, but also grew up in pre-independence Jamaica. in this period that Hall recalled. While Hall was the darkest skinned member in his family, Cliff was light skinned, and yet both Hall and Cliff were profoundly affected by their awareness of the disconnect between the white mythologies of their families and the reality of the histories of slavery and race mixing embedded in their family histories and illustrated by those family portraits. Michelle Cliff's first novel, A Bang, from 1984, vividly portrays Jamaican society on the eve of independence as permeated by colorism on every level. And I just thought I would read a brief passage from the novel, which is set in 1958, so again, just before Jamaican independence. And in this passage, she describes the school that the protagonist, who is a light-skinned middle-class Jamaican, attends. And the school is, in a sense, a kind of microcosm in this respect of the larger society and the way that it's shaped by this logic of colorism. So here's a passage from the novel. At the bottom, as it usually was race and shade. Light and dark were made much of in that school. It was really nothing new in Jamaica, but as in the rest of society, it was concealed behind euphemisms of talent, looks, aptitude. Color was diffuse and hard to track at St. Catharines, entering the classrooms as seating arrangements, disciplinary action, entering the auditorium during the casting of a play. The shadows of color permeated the relationships of the students one-to-one. When the girls found out that Victoria Carter, whom everyone thought was the most beautiful girl in school, was the daughter of a black man who worked as a gardener, her position in their eyes was transformed, and girls who had been quite intimidated by her now spoke about her behind her back. So I think about that that novel and Cliff's account of that aspect of Jamaican society in the late 50s as a kind of counterpart to what Hall describes. So for me, the first part of the film highlights the way in which the combination of these two forms of unbelonging that Hall experienced, along with others of his generation, racial unbelonging within the family and colonial unbelonging within the British nation, which is also a form of racial unbelonging, were crucial to Hall's intellectual formation and generative of his brilliant and profound insights into identity, origins, belonging, and diaspora. Hall was made to feel an outsider both within his family and in the mother country to which he, as a British colonial subject, had been led to believe that he belonged. The traumatic experiences of unbelonging in both spheres, the familial and the national, point to the way in which the Caribbean colonial setting laid painfully bare the falseness of these mythologies of race and nationhood. More broadly, as Hall says in the film, they made evident that no single vector, no one vector of identity, race, nation, class, etc., geographical origin, could define one's identity. Thus he says, I don't think any one thing will tell us who we are any longer. And this is the background against which members of his generation of Caribbean intellectuals, and especially Hall with his remarkably lucid and penetrating prose, were able to articulate such compelling and prophetic critiques of the categories of identity and belonging upon which we've traditionally relied.